Hype, episode 64. Yay! It's another Hype week. I listened back to my intro last week and I was like, welcome to Hype. Oh my, it's another week. So here's some more enthusiasm for everyone. And I am especially enthusiastic because I have two great co-hosts today. I have Pam and I have Danya. Hello, guys.
Hi.
Hi.
It's a little bit low on the enthusiasm, but we'll go with it. It's good. It is early in the morning / late in the evening for you guys. And of course, my name is Selena, and Hype is Hypeable.com's podcast all about entertainment news and discussion. And you, if you want to contact us about this show, about anything we talked about, or if you have any suggestions for what we should talk about next week, you can contact us via Hypeable. You go to the website and you go to the left-hand corner and you open the little menu of magical stuff. Or you can find us on Twitter at Hypeable Hype, and you can also find us on Instagram at Hypeable Hype. And also, of course, if you subscribe to us on iTunes, which we hope you all do, then you'll see that we had our third Hype special last week, which was all about Ready Player One. So finally, it's out there. And that was so much fun. We brought on Katie, who was kind of against Ready Player One. So we had a bit of a more layered discussion. And I think it was pretty good. I enjoyed it. I thought it was a good discussion, led by Merima. Now, we have a lot to get into this week. There's been a lot of news. But before we do any of that, I have a question for you guys. What do you think of our theme song?
Are you talking to us or are you talking to the audience?
No, like
the
what I'm doing? I'm talking to the audience and then I'm leaving a long pause where I expect them to answer me through the magical internet.
You could be. I don't know. I mean, like, they could answer in a couple days on Twitter. That'd be fine.
We'll just sit here and wait for them.
Just like, yeah, we're just waiting on those answers, guys.
Pausing for dramatic effect. It's jazzy. I don't know if it really fits with what we do here, though. Hmm. Like, are we swanky and jazzy like our theme song suggests?
I don't know. Are we? I think we're pretty swanky, but I don't know. I mean, I'm asking because I am, well, you know, we've been talking about it. Me and Kyle have been talking about it. We've been wondering whether we should change it. But obviously, we want everyone's views, and we do actually want the listeners' views. Just not right now because we're recording. So
it would take a little while.
I'm slightly biased because I kind of like jazz music a lot anyway. So I go to a lot of jazz performances because one of my friends is in a jazz band. So I kind of like jazzy things. Mm-hmm. But I guess, no, you kind of have a point that maybe it doesn't necessarily fit completely with the theme. I think I would expect something, I guess, a little almost poppy and upbeat kind of thing is what I would probably expect from an entertainment podcast. I don't know why. Maybe because it links closely with like popular culture stuff.
Hmm.
So, yeah, I don't know.
Interesting. Yeah, see, I kind of like it. Like, I know Andrew picked it like way back when, and I was like, this is so weird. But, you know, editing the show every week and listening to it, I'm like dancing, you know, I kind of like it. So I just wanted to bring it up with you and sort of open the discussion up to the listeners, because maybe at this point you're like, I'm so used to it. I would never want it to change. Mm. I hate change. Change is stupid. Or maybe you're kind of like, I like the show, but I wish they had a different theme song. So let us know if you have any thoughts. And we'll wait. We'll wait for your thoughts. But while we wait, we should move on to talk about actual entertainment that isn't just our own show. It's so meta. And we're going to move into the How We Hype section, where we're going to talk about what we've done in the past week or what we're looking forward to in the upcoming week. I'm going to start because my name is Burst in the Dog today. So I went to see Ricky on the Flash. I talked about going last time and I went and I saw it and I liked it a lot. I thought it was amazing. You guys have both seen it, right?
Not yet, no.
I have.
You saw it last week. Yes. And I, you know what's funny about this movie is that it's one of those movies where I see the trailer, I read a little bit about it, and I think this is going to be amazing. So somewhere in the back of my brain, I'm like, I'm not going to like this. I'm going to be so disappointed. Like, it's going to be a total letdown. And it wasn't. It was just so good. Like, Diablo Cody, like, oh, the what she does, she's the director, obviously, and the level of awkwardness in this movie is just off the scales to the point where I was at one point, like, just waving my hand at the camera, and I went out loud, okay, enough. And then, like, everyone laughed at me because it was so awkward.
Was this in the theater?
Yeah.
Oh my gosh, my favorite person. Except you wouldn't be if I was, like, waiting in suspense for something.
No, it was just once, but it was, like, one of the conversations towards the very end when it just kept getting more and more awkward, and I couldn't take it. Like, the secondhand embarrassment was
like
too much.
Like the family dinner scene.
Yeah. But you know a movie is good when you really live yourself into it to that degree. So I loved it so much. I thought Rick Springfield was so precious. And Sebastian Stan, obviously, wasn't in it that much, but the parts he had were pretty much just great. So put a smile on my face.
I was really kind of hoping, to be honest with you, just because, like, Rick Springfield was in this, that they would cover Jesse's Girl.
I know.
But they didn't. No. So I understand why they didn't. But I was like, oh, come on, you guys.
Yeah, I know. But that was unfortunate. Maybe that would have been a little bit too on the nose.
Did you tear up, though? Because I like, was bawling at one point. This movie, I cry a lot in movies, but this one really. Yeah.
I don't remember if I did that, but I did laugh a lot at inappropriate places. So I was so fun.
And that was the point.
Like, Meryl Streep obviously was amazing. Her daughter is spectacular. So, like, Mammy Gummer, I think that's how you say her name. Such a good actress. I was blown away. And you empathize with her so much. And it's just such a good movie because it's like, it's not too cheesy. Like, she keeps it real. Like, nothing is resolved too perfectly. And no character is too perfect. And, like, the main character, obviously Meryl Streep's character, is definitely not perfect. But you love her. And I cannot say enough good things about this movie. I just adored it. And the dancing, hashtag dancing, made it all a little bit better. So that's it. I'm done talking about it, but I loved it so much. The end. And now Danya can talk about a book.
Yes. So at San Diego Comic-Con, Marimo was very, very kind to get hold of a copy before it was released, the autobiography of James T. Kirk. So if there are any Star Trek fans, this is a fictional autobiography of Captain Kirk. So it was amazing. Like, I finished reading it and I've got a review to go up, but oh my god, I was transfixed through the whole thing. Like, the way that David Goodman is who wrote it, and he also wrote another Star Trek book called Federation: The First 150 Years, which is like a big history book for Star Trek, like set in universe. So he took what he'd started, like, filling the gaps in with that, and he's now made an in-universe autobiography. And I finished reading it and I was just like, I was just sat there holding it in my hands and I was like, so when's he gonna write autobiographies for all of the crew? Because I need more. I need more of the story from, like, everyone's perspective. Like, I think the thing that I really enjoyed the most was the way he explored the relationship between Kirk and Bones, because it's not something that's always particularly highlighted. Everyone's always very centralized and focused on Kirk and Spock as a friendship, but he really did dig into and look at Kirk and Bones as a relationship. And I was just like, wow, this is amazing. And it was thoroughly enjoyable. If you are a Star Trek fan, go out and get it. You are not going to be disappointed.
Wow.
It's a must. It's a must read if you're a Star Trek fan. And it was Star Trek's 49th birthday yesterday.
Yay!
So what better time to get yourself something Star Trek related?
Oh, that's awesome. So much enthusiasm at the start of the show. I love it.
One of the unfortunate parts about living on the West Coast is that everything that is awesome and that is premiering, the East Coast gets first. And such is the case with Stephen Colbert's first episode.
I know your 3-hour delay must be a real pain.
Sometimes
it is.
Let's
talk about that.
Sometimes it is. Anyway, yeah, so I have not watched The Late Show with Steve Colbert yet, but I'm very excited to check it out, probably right after we wrap recording this episode. But so I've been kind of staying away from Twitter just so I can kind of enjoy the first episode with, I hate saying like spoilers, but I guess if there's any surprises afoot, I'd like to experience those firsthand instead of letting like reviews or whatever like get in my head. But he's got a good lineup today. He's got George Clooney and then presidential candidate Jeb Bush coming on. So it'll be interesting to see what kind of questions he asks both of them and then how he incorporates that kind of political angle that we were talking about a couple of weeks ago on the show, because when we mentioned his first week's lineup, it was very interesting to see that he had a lot of these like big names in politics and in the tech industry kind of coming on his first week, whereas most talk show hosts that come into late night, they kind of fuel their first couple episodes with big name stars. And he's doing that, but he's also kind of, you know, putting an emphasis on kind of like real like news-y type figures. So it'll be interesting to see how he does that on The Late Show.
Exciting. And hopefully we'll have someone talk about that next week. If not you, then probably Merima. Yep. So that's awesome. And yeah, great. So that is it for How We Hype. We've got a great lineup of news stories for this week. I'm going to go first. I'm going to play the Harry Potter card and go first because we always got to do that. So this is exciting news. The Harry Potter Illustrated Edition for Philosopher's Stone. I'm sorry, Sorcerer's Stone.
No, I'm sorry, Philosopher's Stone.
I take it back.
I'm so outnumbered this week that I'm not even going to try. It's fine. I'll give you that.
Sorcerer's Stone.
Snuffleupagus Stone.
No, that just sounds like a terrible dinosaur.
No, the Snuffleupagus. That's the Snuffleupagus Stone.
Yes.
Yeah.
So that book has illustrations, not of dinosaurs, but of stuff in the magical world. The illustrated edition will come out on October 6th, and it's basically, it's not like a comic. Like, I have this The Hobbit comic book version, which I love, and I wish, like, one day they're going to do that for Harry Potter, and I'm kind of holding out for that. But these illustrations are, for the most part, absolutely gorgeous. You can see them up on Hypeable, and I'm thinking, especially if you have kids, or if you know kids, and you're going to read the book aloud to them, this is a great way of doing it. Because it looks so much more like a kid's book, and you have these beautiful drawings of the characters and of Hagrid's hut. Hagrid's hut is gorgeous, and you can just stare at the little details of it for hours. Like, it's just so beautiful. The last picture in the article is Harry, and that's a bit weird. Like, that, I'm not a fan, but the rest of them I love. Do you guys have a favorite? Have you checked these out?
Yes. Oh my God, they're stunning. I do actually have this on pre-order.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, just because it's so beautiful. It really, really is. And I really like there's a two-page spread with Hagrid with his umbrella.
Yeah.
And that's the one that I really, really like.
I was just looking at that. Like, I like it too, but it really shows like how brutal and like mean Hagrid is. It looks so painful.
Yeah, but it's so nicely done because I like there's like a paint splatter behind and it kind of goes. It's just so cleverly integrated in with the text.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's gorgeous. But,
yeah, I love like everything and even like the keys around the Keeper of the Keys chapter at the top. Like, for the chapter title. Like, it's, oh, they're just all so beautiful.
I just hope that this is, visual enough that it'll encourage parents to read the books to their children rather than just showing them the movies. Like, I had, my mom's cousin has kids, and they're, like, the closest thing I have to cousins. So, and they're, like, 6 and 3, so I was like, so, when are you going to read them Harry Potter? And she was like, yeah, I think they're almost old enough to watch the movies now. And I was like, no! I think she got a little scared.
You know what? But the attention to detail is just insane in all these photos. Yeah. Like, there's, like, a tiny little Deathly Hallows in the Leaky Cauldron sign. Like, that's insane. Like, they thought to put that in there. Yeah. It's just beautiful. I miss that. And like even down to the little ink blots like on the sides of the pages, it's just like I'm so like, I screw children. Like I just want this for myself, and I'll just be happy. Like I've like moved away from buying new editions of the Harry Potter books just because my bookshelves would just be all Harry Potter, and unfortunately I don't have space between like the English editions, and then like my grandma got me all of them in Spanish, and like at some point I had friends that were bringing them to me from all over the world when they were traveling, so I'm just like, no more Harry Potter
books.
I have
the first one in Spanish is like Le Piedra de Filosofía or something.
Exactamente.
Ah.
Yes.
That was back when I was trying to learn Spanish.
I read them like all in Spanish actually, and it's been like, it was a really big help when I was like,
do they translate the names?
No.
They don't. Oh my god, you guys. The Danish are okay. The Norwegian are so funny. I'm sure you know, like they translate all the names. Like Ron is Ronny and Hermione is Hermine, and the funniest is Dumbledore, who is Humlesnor.
That's like the what is it on Tumblr? I saw it on Tumblr the other day. They were like, gentle reminder that in order to make like I am Lord Voldemort to translate properly into French, had to make his middle name Elvis.
Yeah, in Danish it's Romeo.
Romeo. But yeah, I mean, like, but these are like, I was like, okay, I'm not gonna buy Harry Potter books for a while, but I would love to have like the complete set of illustrated editions. It's just like, and it's just so beautiful. So
yeah, for sure, they're gorgeous. Okay,
I'm very happy with this.
So moving on, vaguely Harry Potter related, I guess, although the man himself would hate that comparison, I think.
I think he looks back on it fondly, but we'll go with that. Yes. Daniel Radcliffe in yet another role that is so far from Harry that, you know, can't even make the comparison. So we got a trailer for his upcoming made for TV biopic called The Game Changers, and that's going to star Radcliffe as the creator of the popular Grand Theft Auto video game series. So his character's name is Sam Hauser, and the film is going to focus on his 3-year legal battle against a Miami lawyer, or rather the lawyer's battle against him, targeting the video game for being too violent and kind of endorsing a violent lifestyle and being like too impressionable for young children. So that is going to be airing actually next week on BBC, which is crazy. Like I didn't think that it was going to be airing so soon. But yeah, I mean, like, it looks really cool. If you like biopics and you like Daniel Radcliffe, then you're definitely going to want to tune into this one. But it's kind of interesting because I think you wrote this article, Selena, right? It was very tongue-in-cheek at the end. Mm-hmm. Because you mentioned that the BBC has found themselves in a little bit of a legal situation with the official creators of the game, who are not endorsing this biopic at all. Yeah. So it's kind of interesting that.
And it's actually not, it doesn't have a US release date yet because the sort of copyright laws and stuff still haven't been cleared up completely.
Yeah. And which is unfortunate because I was actually kind of looking forward to watching this. I remember when I was younger, this being a really big deal, like the quest to ban violent video games and things like that, and going down to like wanting to keep the covers of these games covered up when you went into places like GameStop that sold video games for kids. Like, it was something that was like a very big part of, I guess, my head in a weird way because it got so much media attention over here. So yeah, I mean, like from a personal standpoint, I'd be interested to see kind of what went down. Cause I feel like when you hear about these things as a kid, like you don't really know much more detailed situation. So that'll be interesting to check out, definitely. But if you're in the UK, you can watch this next week.
Yeah, or if you just want to see Dan Radcliffe be all gangster, then you can do that too.
With a very manly beard.
I'm really impressed
by this beard that he was able to grow.
Do you think it's a... No, we rambled too much.
Is it real or not real? Yeah.
Speaking of being pawns of consumerism, this just took a turn.
Yes. So we are now almost a week the other side of Force Friday, where Disney merchandising decided to drop every single piece.
A money spending day.
Yeah, basically every single piece of Star Wars merchandise for the upcoming Force Awakens movie was dropped on a Friday.
Yep.
The Friday just gone, in fact. And it was everything. Like, you know, little figures to tie-in books and wallets, and I saw an R2-D2 desktop vacuum cleaner, and like just so many things. But obviously the thing that's stolen away everyone's hearts is that little BB-8 Sphero droid that you can control with your phone and with your voice, and it goes around everywhere. And they got me, guys. They got me so bad because I bought one.
Oh, is it as tiny as it looks?
Yes, it is tiny.
Why is it so small?
But you know what? You're living my dream because I want one so badly. And my brother works at a store that is selling them. So I'm very tempted to buy one with his discount. Like, so bad. And I have a dog. Mm-hmm. I can recreate that whole video. It'll be amazing.
Or your dog will just eat it.
No, he wouldn't. My dog's a little pansy, but...
I'm surprised they've still got it in stock. I mean, online, it's sold out everywhere.
How much is it? Is it expensive?
I think it's $150, what? And in pounds, it's $125.
What? That's so much money. Sorry, yeah. I'm poor.
But yeah, it's very, very clever, though.
Oh, like, yeah, for sure. I mean, definitely. I wish it was bigger. Like, if it was bigger, I might actually consider saving up for it. But it's so small. But is it fun? Have you been playing with
it? Yes. It's so much fun. It makes little noises, like little beeping.
Cool. So we're all just going to take a road trip to your place and play with yours. Play with BB-8.
Oh, Pam, you're closer to Andrew, right?
Oh, does he have one too?
Andrew has one.
Of course, yeah. He probably has like five.
Of course he does. Oh, Andrew, my gosh.
Andrew and I were talking about it, and we were like, oh my God, it's so That's cute. True.
Well, I'll be knocking on his door soon. Yeah. He has a dog. It'll be adorable.
There we go. Problem solved. Look at that. I'm kind of curious about this, one of the tie-in novels that came out that I'm starting to see a little bit of chatter about.
Oh, yeah. I saw that on Twitter.
The one with a lead character who's gay and then two other characters in the background who are somewhere on the LGBT spectrum. But I couldn't see in the article when I clicked through, like, what, like, where they were on the spectrum, like what the representation was. But that's all I've been seeing about it, is either people praising the fact that it has a lead gay character, and then you know, the very obvious other side of that where people are like, gay people in my Star Wars, I'm not standing for this.
People are not still like that, are they? Like, it just sometimes I'm like, what? Like, are you guys serious?
I just kind of feel very like, oh, get over yourself about it. Like, you think in a universe that's expanded that much that people would still have that kind of problem?
On the other hand, people are also like, oh, there's a black character, and like, oh, people are idiots.
People are definitely idiots. But there was a really cool article it was the author. The author called out people by kind of being like, if this is you, if you are one of the people that is kicking up a stink about the fact that there is a gay character in Star Wars, you are not the Rebel Alliance.
Uh-huh.
You are... you know who you are. Yeah. You're the bad guy.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, for sure. I mean, that's true, and history will be against them. So, you know, it's just sad. So, moving swiftly along from one franchise to another. Now, speaking of stupid people, there's your transition. There, we're just all over the place this week. Money problems and stupid people. So, Idris Elba, who is, of course, a fantastic actor who is known for things like Luther and The Wire, was the subject of kind of a weird situation earlier this week when the author of an upcoming James Bond novel was asked if he could see Idris Elba as Bond, and he said that he was too street for the role and not suave enough. The internet responded with lots of pictures of Elba looking very suave, and the street thing, kind of awkward phrasing, and he's since apologized, and he's since said that he phrased himself poorly, which he did. And in the same interview, he suggested another black actor to play the role. So he was more talking about Idris Elba's apparent streetness. I don't know if he knows who Idris Elba is, but that's beside the point. So anyway, fans obviously, the fan reaction to this has been fantastic. They've come out in support of Elba, almost everyone. There's so much support for him as the next James Bond, which obviously would be after Daniel Craig's next movie after Spectre. So within like the next 5 years, probably. Elba has given an interview where he said that he believes that fans can actually help him get the role, because he says, if it should happen, that's proof there's connectivity amongst human beings. If everyone wants something, they can make it happen. That would be true, which is such a cool thing to say. And who knows? Maybe it is true. I mean, fans all wanting something can sometimes be a deterrent. But you know what? I mean, for this, I think it's nice to know that Idris Elba is interested. And it's nice to know that the world is interested, because it's actually not impossible that we will see him as James Bond. And I would love it, because I love him so much. And I think he has everything that James Bond has to have. Like, the whole Two Street thing just, I mean, I think it rightly threw everyone off, because it's like, have you seen this guy? Like, he is James Bond.
He has more swagger in his pinky finger.
You know, it's a good way of saying it.
So, but like, okay, unpopular opinion, but I'm just going to put out there that I think, I don't know how to phrase this without having people get mad at me, but I'm just going to put out there that I have gone on the record many times with, like, personally and publicly saying, like, Daniel Craig is too street for me to play James Bond.
Yeah, and he definitely is very rough.
Yeah, and I feel like it was, I don't know.
Think Idris Elba is street? Like, I don't see him. I see him as very, like, sophisticated and like.
Here's the thing: when I think of Idris Elba, he's got a more, just because of like the recent roles I associate him with, I think I just see him more as like a grittier. He would be more of like a grittier Bond, mm-hmm. which is like not to say that he couldn't be debonair, because that's what actors are supposed to do. They're people that change hats, you know, at the drop of a hat. Well, you know what I mean? Like, they're paid to take on whatever they have been assigned to do. So I'm not saying he can't be debonair, but like, when people say, oh, Idris Elba for James Bond, the first thing I think of is like, oh, but he'd be like a grittier Bond, and I like my Bonds a little more delicate. But I'm just like, that's just my...
Is Pierce Brosnan your favorite Bond?
Nah, yes, and like, he's my favorite recent Bond. Like, I like him better than like some of the ones from, like,
okay,
he's been, like, and even Daniel Craig. But like, I don't know. It like, and I have like, I just, I feel bad for this guy, because he didn't say, like, I feel like a lot of people from what I saw were just saying that he was like being a little bit racist to call, because Idris Elba is black. And so like, to say he's too street is like, I just kind of felt bad for like Anthony Horowitz, because I think that he phrased this wrong, but like, I totally understood where he was coming from. And I feel like a lot of people, at least on my timeline, were like arguing about whether he was like, he like labeled Idris Elba as too street because he was black. And I'm like, well, no, I don't think that's what he was saying at all. You know, I just think that like, for him, like that's understandable. Like, he would just be grittier, and like, that's fine if you enjoy that. But like, you know, like, if I were going to pick, like, if you're going with like black British actors, like somebody like David Oyelowo from The Butler, like, would be more like
a lot of people I've seen since this has been coming out have been saying that they would prefer him.
Yeah, like, it just, because that's just the way I like my Bond. But a lot of people like their Bonds grungier and grittier. Yeah,
for sure.
And that's fine too.
Because that's what I feel like. I feel like the more depth, the more pain, the more sort of, I think that the juxtaposition between him being really suave and debonair and also having this dark side, I like the idea of that. So, well, it's a matter of opinion, I think. Yeah, I would be so happy if he was cast.
My whole thing was, like, I just thought that this was interesting, because I feel like people have said similar things about Daniel Craig, but nobody has been up in arms about it.
Yeah.
And I'm just wondering how much of this was based on the fact that Idris Elba is black. And, like,
I think all of it was based on it.
Yeah. And then, like, if you say, like, a black person is too straight, you're automatically, like, taking into account the color of their skin. And I just, like, I feel like that was just ridiculous. So, but I'm glad that...
perspective.
You guys don't hate me because I had the same opinion, you know. It was like, and not because he's black, just because like, I just associate him with his grittier roles, which is fine. But, you know, if he becomes Bond and he proves me wrong, like, I'll be happy. I just, yeah.
For sure. So he's a great actor. We can agree on that, I think. But it's nice. It's great to have opposing opinions.
Yeah.
And speaking of something, people have a lot of opposing opinions about.
We're going to stick with the Bond theme here because we got some big Bond news this morning. Again, this is another story that's going to be developing more tomorrow. But we learned that Sam Smith is going to be recording the official James Bond single for Spectre. And the song is going to be called Writings on the Wall. So that song is going to premiere tomorrow morning, which is like, actually, it might even be premiering over there where you guys are, right?
Because
potentially. I wouldn't be surprised if it would be like a Radio 1 thing, which I would. I would usually be listening to that, but right now.
So this is kind of cool because I feel like Sam Smith's voice has the ability to be sultry and swanky the way I like my James Bond singles to go. So the complete opposite of Madonna's Die Another Day, but more along the lines of Adele's Skyfall. But I know a lot of people are really worried about this because Smith has gone on the record as saying that he wrote the song in 20 minutes, but we shouldn't be alarmed because apparently the producers loved it. And this is going to be really cool because it's kind of going to be like the first new Sam Smith song we're going to get in a while. So if you're a fan of Sam Smith and his brand of music, this might be something that you're really excited for, Bond aside.
Yeah.
But I want to hear what you guys have to say, because I think Selena might not be in agreeance here.
I don't have an opinion. I don't know much about Sam Smith. What has he done? He did Stay With Me. Did he do that one?
Yeah, he did also Latch with Maybe. Disclosure.
Mm-hmm. I kind of like that. I don't have an opinion.
It would have been cool, though. Like, I know a lot of, like, you mentioned in your article that, like, people like Ellie Goulding and Lana Del Rey were also being looked at. And, like, they
Radiohead.
Would have given
them...
Yeah, Radiohead. Although, like, Radiohead
That's
is an interesting choice
thing.
For
yeah,
me.
Yeah, I was surprised by that.
Radiohead would have been the choice I probably would have found more interesting.
Uh-huh.
Like, for me, I don't know if you guys have this, but Sam Smith is so overexposed here.
He feels like a product of pop culture, which is why I'm sort of like, I'm sure he'll be fine. But
yeah, it's kind of like just...
You know what, though? Like, but go on, I'll talk about what I think later.
Yeah, it's just...
A lot of opinions.
it's kind of like, it's... the one thing I find kind of interesting is that essentially he is... not the opposite, but he's like a lot of the female big powerhouse singers that they usually would get to sing a lot of the James Bond themes, but obviously he's a guy, so that for me is kind of interesting that they've switched that around. But then I'm just kind of like, but they could have done something like super interesting and different with it, because that's sometimes when I like my James Bond songs. I didn't like the Madonna one. I will throw that out there. Yeah. I was not.
That's my least favorite. And that's why I think, like, ever since then, like, I was scarred as a young child, you guys, with the Madonna's Die Another Day. I just kind of feel like if they're going to go between, like, experimental, like Madonna, or just, like, traditional, I'd rather have them go traditional.
Speaking of things that aren't going to be new, Chris Evans has said that he's interested in continuing to play Captain America after Infinity War.
Okay, so I have a question about this. Obviously, you're going to get into it, but I had it on... I'm so confused by this story, and you know I'm a Marvel noob, so you have to fill us all in. What is this? Are we talking, like, is he going to, like, follow Bucky around, like a ghost, like Casper style? Like, what is this?
Well, the thing with the Civil War storyline, like the big thing, the thing that kind of concludes it almost, is the fact that Captain America is assassinated. Like,
right.
That's...
And I feel like we can talk about this because it happens in the comics.
In the comics. Like, and it very obviously looks like they are not going in that direction.
Which would make me so happy because I like him, but I don't want to get my hopes up.
I don't know. So it looks as though it's going even further in that he's going to be sticking around for a lot longer than potentially we thought he was going to, because a lot of the assumption was that maybe the Captain America mantle would pass over to either Bucky or Falcon, who both are Captain America in the comic books.
Mm-hmm.
But it's really, really interesting because it looks like he may be sticking around as long as Marvel want him.
What do you think about this? Are you excited? Are you not excited?
I really love Chris Evans as Captain America.
But
I do. But I also really like how the mantle passed to a couple of different people and how they struggled with trying to uphold Steve's values.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it was, especially with Bucky, like, it was really interesting to see him take on the Captain America mantle and then try and uphold everything Captain America stood for. And yeah, it was, yeah.
But so I have a question again, because I was thinking about this, because I know you said I really love the idea of Falcon being Captain America, because I love Falcon, yeah. And I like the idea of him taking over. But I have been thinking about this whole Cap dying thing, because I was so annoyed. Like, we talked about this earlier. Like, I finally found a character in the MCU where I was like, yes, I'm rooting for this guy. And then you were like, yeah, he's dying. So that made me sad. But the thing is, though, that he is... As you say, you love him. Everyone loves him. He is extremely popular character. And I thought for a long time it would be so awkward if they killed him off now in the middle of a phase and like in his own movie, which is stuck full of all these I'm like choking. It's Marvel. They've come to get me. but like in this in all these superheroes that are taking up his screen time and he just dies, like throwing in a character death into that mess. Could you imagine? Like, they might still do it, but I kind of thought because there was an interview with him that I reported like months and months ago where he said like something, this is when we'll be shooting Infinity War. And I thought, well, if he's going to die, then it makes sense to kill him off in Infinity War, right? Because that's the big finale. They've got two movies to set everything up. It ends phase three or two, three. I've lost track. It ends a phase. And then from there, they can pass the mantle if they're going to do that. Then they are setting up a new phase, a new Captain America, a new whatever. And this might just be wishful thinking. Like, he might be throwing everyone off and actually he's dying and they're trying to keep it under wraps. But I never thought it made sense to kill him off at this point because he's still super popular.
Yeah.
And he still has movies in his contract.
I mean, the other thing we're assuming is that Civil War will be wrapped up in one movie.
Yeah. That's true.
I mean, the Civil War storyline, the particular threads behind the registration and government... kind of regulation of superheroes is something that can carry across into all of the other movies and into the TV show. It doesn't necessarily mean that the end of Civil War will be the end of that plot. It doesn't mean it's going to be wrapped up in a neat little bow at the end of it. So it could mean that we're going to continue to see the ramifications and the effects of Civil War through more movies.
Yeah.
So... I mean, it doesn't necessarily mean that the end of Civil War is going to be the end of Civil War. We could get still the kind of play out of that storyline from the comics, the big ending, so to speak, in one of the Infinity War movies. Yeah. So, yeah.
But don't you think that makes sense? Like, if they're going to kill him, they would wait.
I think it would make more sense to do it in something like Infinity War and have it be like and just show how high stakes it is,
yeah,
I guess,
yeah,
as well. But then I don't think a lot of people would be expecting them to kill off a character in their own movie.
Yeah, I mean, you're right. I mean, for the surprise factor, that's kind of what I'm going back to. Like they could just be messing with us. Like, they could be doing this whole, like, oh, yeah, I have lots of more contract, like, movies in my contract, blah, blah, blah. I'm talking about future movies. And then, bam, they're going to surprise everyone by killing him. I'm just thinking, are they really going to value the surprise factor over all of the things that are speaking to keeping him alive? The merchandising, the popularity of the actor, the fact that Civil War is... already overloaded with plots without needing the main character to die, unless like they kill him off in the beginning and then like
and then you see it
Spider-Man
like backwards kind of thing.
No, so then Spider-Man's just the main character and Oh my God.
Don't say that.
No, I know. I can't joke with you on this. No. I'm sorry. But
the thing is that since seeing a little bit more of Civil War, and I've seen some of the I don't know if you guys saw the GIFs going around that was basically taken from the trailer.
Mm-mm.
I'm slightly more optimistic because the central thing in all of those little bits was Bucky and Steve.
Aww.
So
aww.
I'm not maybe as worried anymore.
Mm.
I think the sheer amount of characters kind of put everyone on the back foot, but
yeah.
I think it's exactly what I was theorizing at one point on Hero Hype is that, for want of a better word, they're cannon fodder for the story. So they are essentially there just to be able to show the divide. Mm-hmm. And they're bringing in characters that we already kind of know their personalities and their political leanings and where they would fall on the spectrum of you know, regulation or not regulation.
Yeah.
So I think that's probably why they've overbloated it with characters. Isn't necessarily that they're all going to get an equal amount of screen time. It's just that they need faces, soldiers for this war.
Yeah.
So,
and I think that's true. And I think, you know, we've talked about how, you know, Merrima is always talking about as well, how she, there's too many characters and she's really worried about the overloading of plot. So I think that's a good point. And I'm sure you guys are going to talk a lot about this on Hero Hype. Speaking of that other podcast, that all our listeners are hopefully subscribed to.
There is no doubt that we will keep talking about it.
But it's exciting. It's exciting. If they choose to like pull the rug out from under us and try to surprise us with this, or if they choose to keep him alive, we'll have to wait and see. I'm really hoping they keep him alive just because I like him, but we'll see. And I don't like character death. I think it's dumb. I'm just going to put that out there. Anyway.
Kyle would disagree with you.
Kyle will disagree with me, but he's not here. So
yeah.
There.
But yeah, I guess Cap is with them till the end of the line.
Oh, no. Feels attack. Oh, my God. Oh,
you're welcome.
So beautiful. Anyway. So we're going to stay on. We've just looked forward. We're going to look a little bit back into the Marvelverse. And the Age of Ultron blooper reel was released. Have you guys seen it? Do you think this is all we're going to get? Because it's so short.
No, this is only, it's a couple of clips
from
the blooper reel. They said it's just a short teaser of what's on there. It's not the full one.
That's good, because I'm already so disappointed we're not going to get a director's cut of that movie. So, yeah, I know. We're not going to get into this.
Yeah, I was hoping for a director's cut just because I still don't like the movie.
Right,
and I was hoping that maybe a couple of the extra scenes would kind of address and resolve some of the story issues that I had. I mean, I still have a lot of story issues with it. But
Joss Whedon has said the movie that they cut was not the movie he shot. And that's why everyone is like, well, show us what you shot then, you know.
Yeah.
But that's unfortunate. But yeah, the blooper reel clips we have on Hypebeast are really funny. And you can go check those out and try to forget about the fact that these characters might die one day. Anyway, we're ready to move on.
Okay, cool. I just wanted to make sure that Anyway wasn't like...
Let's talk more about Chris Evans.
Cool. Let's talk about other funny people. Kate Blanchett might not be your first thought when you think of comedy, but she will be portraying one of the most iconic comedic actresses in American TV history. So she's been tapped to play Lucille Ball, who is, of course, famous for her role in I Love Lucy and Aaron Sorkin's upcoming biopic. And this is really interesting news because the film is actually going to be produced by Lucille's two children that she had with Desi Arnaz, who, of course, was her co-star on I Love Lucy. So they'll be working very closely with Sorkin as far as penning the script goes and also with the production company to bring this movie to life. So I'm assuming it's going to be fairly true to what went down. And the script is actually going to focus on her 20-year-long marriage to Desi, who was a Cuban bandleader that she loved with in 1940. And it's going to go into how they came into I Love Lucy and how it became so successful and stuff like that. So it sounds like it's going to be really cool. And I'll be really interested to see how they proceed with this as far as who gets tapped to be a director, which we don't know yet. And of course, who is going to star as Desi himself, because the two are one of the most iconic couples in TV
Aaron Sorkin is writing it, but he's not directing it?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Apparently there's no director that's joined the project yet. So, I mean, maybe he'll pull double duty, but for right now, he's just credited as the script writer. So,
yeah, because I know that one of the biggest concern about this is that, you know, here we've got one of the most brilliant female comedians of all time, and we've got a man, you know, writing the script and potentially directing it. Mm-hmm. I think people are really hoping for a female director.
Yeah, although at the same time, I don't know. I think, like, it sounds more like a passion project, especially since their kids are involved, which is it probably, I mean, I'm sure they don't, like, have the final decision on everything, but, I mean, her daughter is one of the people that are going to be advising on it. So,
which is,
I guess,
great.
If they think that, yeah, I guess if they think that Sorkin is, like, you know, the right person to bring the story to life, then that's a decision the family made. I'm sure, like, it's one of those, like, Lucille Ball is one of those iconic actresses, and I just kind of feels like one of those movies that they've probably been trying to make in Hollywood for a while. So I'm just assuming here that it had to have taken something for their kids to finally say, yeah, okay, go ahead and, like, bring our parents' story to life for the big screen, you know? Mm-hmm. So it sucks that it's not a woman, because there are a lot of really funny women in script and, like, and a lot of really great screenwriters that are women, but I don't know.
Yeah.
That's just that's my two cents. Mm. I think, like, where we're probably going to run into some problems is coming up in the casting if they don't cast a Latin actor to play Desi and kind of go with a more whitewashed cast. I will say that he is Cuban. So again, there is a shortage of Cuban actors in Hollywood right now.
What's his name? He's not Cuban, but I love him so much. Oscar Isaac would be great.
Yeah, he's Guatemalan, but he is a singer, so it would be
exactly.
He's definitely one of my top picks. Another one is Gabriel Garcia Bernal, who is Mexican. Mm-hmm. He did Y Tu Mamá También, and then, like, my favorite Cuban actor is, like, never going to get this role, and I really, really like him because he's pretty, but his name is William Levy, but he just looks like straight out of every other European country you could imagine. But Oscar Isaac would be amazing, and he's a great actor. If they could get him amidst his busy schedule, that would be fabulous.
No, he's,
and I would be cool with that.
Busy though. Mm-hmm. He's so busy. He's in, like, everything right now. I love him though.
And Kate Blanchett is just, like, she's so phenomenal that,
yes,
I mean, it doesn't really matter that she doesn't do a lot of comedy, I think.
And with all the talk about, like, ageism in Hollywood, it's great to see an actress who isn't, like, 25 getting this role.
Although she looks like a freaking, like...
Oh, she does. She looks great.
She's ageist. Like, she's like a vampire or something.
Or an elf. Thing.
She's beautiful. Yeah. Speaking of beautiful people...
I was wondering if you were going to go for that.
Why not? Let's go with it. Speaking of beautiful people, the trailer for Arrow Season 4 is out, and it's full of beautiful people. I am ridiculously excited for Season 4, like, to the point of being overly optimistic, whereas before, because of Season 3, which I kind of, in equal measures... loved and didn't love. I wouldn't say I hated it necessarily, but there were, like, bits and pieces that gave me slight niggles that was like, a little bit of tighter writing and directing that would have fixed those up. But this trailer has basically turned everything around and made me go, I need it now. Why is it not out already? What's going on? Gimme, 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 gimme. Like, we get to see Damien Dark for the first time, who's going to be the main villain, and he is kind of very imposing in this tiny little trailer and kind of terrifying. And you get to see Oliver and Diggle are still clashing. And then you kind of see Constantine.
Oh, yeah. Oh, this is exciting.
Constantine's going to be in it. And you get to see him, and he's got this smug, stupid little grin on his face, like the cocky jerk that he is. And I basically swooned, not going to lie. And then we get to see Sarah coming back, and Thea looks like she's going cray-cray because of the effects of the Lazarus Pit. So just everything in this trailer just got me stupidly excited. Like, awesome. I can't even say how many times I've rewatched this trailer over and over and over. Like, I was kind of joking with Karen, who's she's been on here before, right? She was on the San Diego Comic-Con
yes,
episode.
She was.
Yeah. Yeah. So I've said to Karen, we were joking about just keeping it on in the background of everything. And, like, my parents came to visit. And, I'd been watching the trailer before they got here. And I was just, like, thinking, oh, what if I kept it on? And they were like, can we turn that off? And I'd be like, no, it's staying on repeat until the season comes out. And Karen was saying, yeah, the world will end if you turn it off. Seriously, it was that good. I think, yeah, it's just optimism now, and I wonder if that's going to be my downfall, but it just looks so good. It looks so good.
Awesome. I'm so glad you're excited. And we're going to stay in TV news for a little bit. I'm going to, welcome to Game of Thrones cast, everybody. Yay! I'm going to talk about like a huge amount of Game of Thrones stories. So we've got a bunch of exciting new actors joining the cast. First, there's Freddie Stroma, who's, of course, known from Harry Potter and Unreal, who is has been cast as Samwell Tarly's little brother. Samwell. No, I was right the first time. So he'll be playing Dickon Tarly, who is sort of the what Randall Tarly wanted Sam to be and why Randall sent Sam to the wall and also tried to kill him because he wanted this little brother to take over. So probably going to be looking at a bit of the smug Cormac McLaggen or for that role, the part he played in Unreal from him. He's a fantastic actor, very, very nice to look at, and a really cool presence. I remember I loved him in Half-Blood Prince, so I think this is awesome. We've also got Richard E. Grant, who was just announced yesterday. He has a mystery role. They don't know who he's playing. Mikhail suggests that he could be playing Randall Tarly, although Ian McShane could also be playing Randall Tarly. I think that Richard E. Grant is more appropriate, although Ian McShane does kind of resemble Sam a little bit, so we will have to wait and see. And finally, Danish actor Pilou Espik has joined Game of Thrones, which is awesome, and I'm still waiting for my call because I feel like they're going to run out of Danish people.
I was going to say, Danish people are being cast in like everything.
Everything. It's like insane. I feel like I'm really missing an opportunity here. Pilou has been cast as, and I call him by his first name because I've actually met him, so I feel like, we're tight. He's been cast as Euron Greyjoy, who is Theon's uncle, and I think this is brilliant casting because they look so much alike. Like, when you look at them, it's kind of amazing, actually. He's a bit younger than he's described in the books, but I think, Pilou, our friend Pilou, can pull it off. And it's funny because last season, of course, we had Bikki de Jord Sørensen on the show as one of the wildlings, and they starred opposite each other in the Danish television series Borgen, which you guys might have watched because it's kind of famous. Yay, Danish people! Yay, Game of Thrones! That's the end! Do you guys have any comments?
I mean, I'm not watching next season of Game of Thrones.
Oh, of course,
so
yes. Yeah.
I
thought Mikhail had given it up as well, but I guess she changed her mind.
I don't know. The last season of it was essentially straw that broke the camel's back kind of thing. So I'm just gonna, I didn't finish watching last season in its entirety. I didn't watch the last three, maybe four episodes of the season. I just kind of got exhausted with it. So it's dropped from my TV watching schedule now. I've freed up a slot and I'm going to replace it with MTV's Shannara Chronicles.
Ah, yeah, that looks good.
Yeah, exactly. I'm switching it out.
Yeah.
I think I will wait until it ends completely and I may go back and watch it eventually. But for now, I'm done with watching it live. I will wait and see other people's opinions, but if I never picked it up again, I don't think I'd be too disappointed. So while I'm very happy that a lot of these actors are getting in, especially Freddie Stroma, who I love.
Oh, yeah.
I think he's great. So I'm very happy that they've got new roles and a new project to work on. I just won't be tuning in. I think all the casting is great. I think that's the one thing that Game of Thrones does very, very well is the actual casting choices. But
and the dragons. They're pretty good with the dragons.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know where they found them.
No, I'm with it. We don't have to spend a lot of time talking about this, but I think, you know, I'm not going to stop watching Game of Thrones. I'm not like, I have made the decision, brah. But at the moment, I don't feel excited for the next season. And I'm like, sort of trying to think of, oh yeah, I have to watch the show. Like, I'm not like, yay, I'm going to watch the show. I'm like, oh, am I going to find time? And what if I get really depressed? And what if it just makes me sad? Like, it kept doing last season. And do I really want to put myself through that? So I'm sort of a bit like fatigue. Game of Thrones fatigue, I think, more than anything else, like emotional trauma fatigue. But I mean, that said, again, you're talking about the amazing cast, and one thing I probably will be watching is Maisie Williams' new YouTube account, which she set up, which is kind of awesome, and you guys can go find a link to that on hypeable.com.
It's really too bad that she's not going to be updating regularly. That's the only downside to that account. But moving from one internet thing to another, we have a series of unfortunate events news for you guys who have all been eagerly anticipating the Netflix television adaptation for that. The show finally has a series of showrunners and directors that have been attached to the project. So first up, we have True Blood writer and executive producer Mark Hudis, who is going to be running things over there. And then we have a Pushing Daisies alum, Barry Sonnenfeld, who has also joined the team that's going to be working behind the scenes to bring that to life. So that's really exciting overall. And I think everybody's like just waiting to see how this turns out and who gets cast as the kids and kind of when the first trailer is going to come out and all that stuff. But we're a little bit far away from that. So for now, I guess we're just happy the show's in good hands. I don't know if were you guys into the books? Because I read a few of them with my little siblings, but I never actually finished the series on my own just because after they grew out of it and they didn't need me to read them to them anymore. It just like, I felt like it was like just, it was a little too geared towards like younger kids the way they were written.
Sorry.
At least like for my taste, not that like children's books can't be read by all ages, but I think I got tired of like the way that it was explained. Some of the things were explained in the books, but yeah, I mean, like it's a really fun little read if you're into that stuff. But were you guys into the books or did you like the movies? Or
I liked the books. I fairly enjoyed the movies. They weren't amazing, but I really did enjoy them still anyway. And I'm really excited for this, especially after that little fan trailer that came out. I think what got me slightly more excited for what this could be. So, yeah, I'm kind of looking forward to it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I remember liking the movie, too. They only made the one, though, which was unfortunate. I guess it didn't really do very well in the box office. But it'll be fun, I think, to see the author do press for this, though, because he's a hoot. I took my little sisters to like a signing that he did, and he's just like so fun. He's so fun, and he just kind of has this dreary like whatever attitude, and it's just hilarious to see little kids react to that stuff. So I'm interested to see how he does on the press for this.
Awesome. It's gonna be great. It really is. Speaking of particularly great things,
our final story.
So Antonio Banderas is in fashion.
So random, by the way, guys.
He's in fashion school at the moment. Like that came, like he announced that, like I think it was a couple of months ago that he was doing that, but he's now like explained why he's gone.
You can't
he's
even
gone
get through
to fashion
it.
School. He says, there is one garment that I love that was lost in menswear a long time ago, and I would like to experiment with it. The cape.
Of course. Capes. What else?
Yeah. Capes in the winter, in places like this. I think they have incredible possibilities. They are very comfortable. And I...
What's not to like?
I am so in love with this idea, just in general, just him designing and releasing capes. Like... that it's, I still haven't got my head around, like, this story just gives me so much joy, even like a couple of days later, like, I just love her so much.
I feel like capes, like, they haven't really, I feel like I see people wear, like, not like capes, like floor length capes, but I'm pretty sure I've seen like little like Red Riding Hood like capes.
But have you seen men wear capes?
Because
that's what this is. This is men's
fashion capes. It's about men's wear capes.
Yeah.
So,
I mean, everybody can be a superhero.
Yes.
Well, Edna Mode would disagree with you there. If you want to be a superhero, no capes.
No capes.
But I just kind of, like, I've got a little capelet kind of thing where it's, like, over the shoulder, sort of really shortcut one.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like
a coat?
No.
It's like a poncho?
No, because it doesn't come all the way down my arms. It's literally, like, short-sleeved over the shoulder, and it's got a hood and everything on it.
Oh, so I see.
They're really, really, it's really cute. I love it. But... yeah,
but I just capes. Want to see men everywhere running around in capes. That would be amazing.
I'm like, you know what? The only problem with this is I'm going to expect so much chivalry from these people, and then they're going to have
none. So they can bow down.
Like,
and
they're going to be the person that, like, you think they're opening the door for you, but they're like, oh, JK, the door's just for me, and then it's slammed in your face.
And you have,
like, 20 boxes in your arms.
So this is just perfect. This is like the perfect next step from hipster fashion. I think he's really onto something here. I hope this takes off. No pun intended. Oh, so that's that's a great story to end the news on. And Danya was the one who made me write this up for Hypeable. So thank you very much. People had a lot of fun with that. And of course, I just want to mention one story we didn't talk about, but I just want to bring it up, is that Ubisoft is opening a theme park in Malaysia. What? You can read more about that on Hypeable.com, and you can read about all the other news stories from this week that we didn't talk about. Now, moving on into TV show of the week. So, Pam, start us off.
Cool. So I had a little bit of time this week, and I intended only to watch the pilot of Netflix's Wet Hot American Summer. And as it usually happens with comedies that are under a half hour long, I ended up watching the whole first season, or like the only season that's out. So it's not like the best thing. Well, I guess it's a matter of opinion, but it's not going to be like the best like television show you've ever watched. But if you're a fan of the movie, and like, I mean, really, you're going to tune into the stuff where the actors like Paul Rudd, Elizabeth Banks, Chris Pine, like
Bradley Cooper.
All those people are in this.
Whoa.
Yeah, Bradley Cooper.
Chris Pine is in it?
Yes.
Did you just say Chris Pine?
Oh, yes, Chris Pine.
You flipped the switch.
You did.
She's catatonic. Oh, no.
Like just the amount of people that are in this show. It's just, it's so fun. And if you're a fan of like the camp, like the summer camp tropes, it's just a lot of fun ridiculousness. So if you're looking for something quick and easy to watch, definitely suggest you check that out. And it's just like, the funniest part about this is that it's like old people playing really young people.
Yeah.
So funny. There's this point in like the first couple of episodes where this like, because the campers are actually like children, but then one of the girls like she gets her period and she goes into the stall. When she comes out, she's like literally a woman. So ridiculous that it's just funny and it just works. So yeah, if you're just looking for a fun little show to watch, I definitely recommend checking that out. Although it's been on Netflix for a while, so I might be really late to the party. I don't know.
Yeah, I haven't seen it yet.
I keep seeing it every time I'm flicking through Netflix and just going, I don't know if it's my thing or not. And then I'll scroll past it and go and watch, I don't know, some kind of period drama instead.
Oh, it's kind of a period drama.
That is usually what I do too. But I was like, I need something short because I can't commit to like an hour and a half or 2 hours.
And then you committed to like 10 hours.
I committed. Yeah. Well, it's only 8 episodes long. Okay. But yes, I committed to like 5 hours. 5 hours of my life. I'm never going to get back. But I'm good with it.
Good. Awesome. Yeah. And Amy Poehler. I'm really looking forward
to Amy Poehler. That. Kristen Wiig is in it for a hot minute. It's they brought back a lot of the cast too from the original movie. So
awesome.
It's really fun.
I'm glad to hear it's not a total letdown.
No.
Netflix knows what it's doing.
Yeah, it's just one of those like time suck things, like kind of like Unbreakable Kimmy Schmidt, which is amazing. But like you set out to only watch one episode, and then before you know it, like Netflix is asking you if you're still alive because you're like yeah. 8 episodes in. That's exactly what it is.
Uh-huh. That's awesome. And Danya, you have a bit of a different fandom to talk about this week.
Yes.
It's great to know we're not just all about like, you know, actors and fiction.
So one of my greatest loves in British television is The Great British Bake Off, and it's back.
And people are obsessed with that show. I see it on Twitter all the time.
For very good reason. If you're not watching it, find a way to watch it. It is an experience. It will change your life. If you don't like reality TV shows, like at all, if you hate the kind of cliquey, kind of bitchy undertones to reality TV, this is the perfect remedy to it. Everyone is so nice to each other. Like, you even get other contestants helping each other out.
Aww.
Like, it is the most British thing that you will probably ever encounter. But you will get ridiculously invested in whether or not their cakes or their bakes turn out right, and if they have a disaster, you will find yourself crying along with them. It is a very emotional reality TV watch. It's like I'm transfixed. The thing is that on a Wednesday, because it airs on a Wednesday, and it's on at 8 o'clock every Wednesday, and I say to people, don't text me, don't call me, don't try and talk to me, don't do anything, because I'm not going to pay attention to you because Great British Bake Off is on. That's it. For an hour, I am off the grid because it's too important.
All right. I'll take your word for it.
It is. It's really good, though. Uh-huh. See, I know people who were like, yeah, sure, whatever. A couple of them started watching it this season. They are probably more into it than I am now, which is difficult.
That sounds amazing. That's certainly a ringing endorsement. That's fantastic. I would probably say I would probably enjoy The Great British Bake Off more than I did the show that I watched this week. I actually watched a show, you guys. Oh my God, applause. I watched the pilot of Fear the Walking Dead, and I mainly watched it because of Alicia Debnam Carey, who is in The 100. And I also watched it because I actually did watch part of the first season of The Walking Dead, and I thought it was really, really good. I just kind of got a little bit turned off by all the blood and guts and stuff. I wasn't into it. Like, I really wasn't into it, and I tried to be, but I kept losing attention for it. Like, I kept being like, where's my phone? What's this? And I've actually heard people on Twitter have told me that I need to watch episode 2, and I'm probably going to do that. But I don't feel like it, because I was like, I know the zombie breakout is going to happen, so that's not where the tension is. And then the characters to me, like their problems, and I know that other people have said this, so it's not just me. They're not just not interesting to me. Like, it's kind of like cliched, and they have these extremely emotional scenes that they haven't earned. And I think that's a big, like, for me, and maybe you feel differently if you've been keeping up with The Walking Dead, but for me, none of this is earned. And, like, they go from seeing, like, a guy, like, one of the zombies on live TV, and then the next day they're just, like, driving a car, like, oh, where's our son? And it's like, but the zombie, what's happening? Like, why do you not care more about this? So I got off to a rocky start. I'm not, you know, I know that it's lame to judge shows based on their pilots, so I'm going to watch episode 2. Have either of you guys watched it?
No.
No?
Yeah. I talked about it a couple episodes ago. I actually enjoyed it, but I'm also one of those people that has been keeping up with The Walking Dead for the last 5 seasons.
Yeah.
So to that respect, I think maybe going into it, I was just excited because I'm into the show.
Into the world, and you're going back to the beginning. Because that's what I was thinking, yeah.
Exactly. But I will say, like, the thing I think I said this too is, like, I can see why people wouldn't like it. It's kind of like, if you think about the way people are today, and maybe it's because we're too invested in, like, the idea of, like, the possible but also impossible. Like, you don't really understand why nobody would ever think like, oh, this has to be zombies, like, mm-hmm. get out, because mm-hmm. zombies are invading. And the people in this world are just like, that's improbable.
They're like, it's impossible.
Yeah, right. So to that degree, I thought it was very clever kind of to pinpoint some of these people that would not be believed by other people that are thought of as sane. So you have the kid that's going into therapy, and of course he's going to be paranoid. You know what I mean? And then you have the drug junkie who could be hallucinating. So to that regards, I thought they did good with what the tools that they had. But I don't know. I mean, I guess I'll have to wait and pass judgment until the whole season comes out and see how it develops from there. But as a fan of The Walking Dead, I've enjoyed the first two episodes, but I can see how it's not for everybody, for sure.
Yeah, that's good. So. And that's, I'm so glad. I forgot you talked about it, but I'm so glad that I wasn't just like being negative and then like, that's the end.
No.
To have opposite opinions.
And I think we had a comment from somebody who ended up watching it too, a couple, maybe last week or something like that, and they enjoyed it. But I have seen like mixed reviews on it.
Yeah.
So you're totally not alone. So yeah.
Awesome.
But it might pick up. It's a little slow.
As an aside, Selena put down FTWD pilot in the dock. And until she actually said Fear the Walking Dead, I've been sitting here the whole episode going, what's FTWD? Yeah.
You know what? I looked at the doc this morning and I was like, what the hell is this? What did I watch?
I'm like, they're going for the wind,
for the,
dude.
For the water.
For the wind, dude. That's a great name for a pilot.
For the wind, dude.
I'm just like, they're going,
I had the same thing.
This?
Yeah.
It sounds like that stupid reality TV competition that they have called King of the Nerds on like TBS or something.
Okay, so that wraps up TV Show of the Week. We're running long. What? We never do that. We're going to just quickly go through Hot on Hypeable, which I put together this week, so blame me. Don't blame Merima. We have a lot of great articles. What am I saying? She's not here. Totally blame Merima.
Blame Merima.
Hashtag blame Merima. So on Hypeable, hypeable.com, HYPAPLE.com, we have a lot of great original articles and features and stuff like that. And this week we had some pretty cool ones to choose from. Ariana has written an article. By the way, last week I didn't mention Ariana when I was talking about all the great people that write articles for us, so I felt bad. So she's amazing and she gets her own shout out now. She wrote an article about 5 crazy Star Wars rides we demand to see at Disneyland now that they're opening a Star Wars section of the park. She included stuff like the Ewok treehouse, the pod racing, and the volcano lightsaber battle to the death, which I'm not sure how that's going to work, but it sounds cool. Chloe Bennett would approve. So moving on, this is why I don't do Hot and Hypeable, guys. So Katie, who was on last week, she has written a couple of articles. She's written one now that Hannibal is over, because of course Hannibal concluded this last month. Here's a list of 10 other great horror shows that can carry you through your withdrawals. She also went to Fan Expo Canada and has written up a couple of really great articles about the event. And she shared some great scoops. Like, for example, there was a Harry Potter reunion and Tom Felton revealed that they would, on set when they were filming Harry Potter, they would have a mess up jar when they messed up on set, like missing their lines or laughing. And they would give £10 to charity every time because they're filthy rich. And Rupert Grint had the most money in his jar. He had about 20 or 2,000 pounds. So that's a lot of mess ups, and that is awesome. And there's lots more where that came from over on Hypeable. Michal did a couple of interviews. She interviewed Ian Beattie, who played Sir Meryn Trant on Game of Thrones. And turns out he's the hugest fan ever. So now I feel kind of bad that he's not on the show anymore, even though his character was horrible. Put it that way. And finally, Mikhail also interviewed Alan Zweibel and Adam Mansbach about their book called Benjamin Franklin, Huge Pain in My ... which is a middle grade book. And lots more on that on hypeable.com. Now, listener feedback to wrap up the show. Let's start with Jules' comment. Pam, this is for you, so you can read it.
All right. Sounds good. Jules says, totally agree about the movie Red Eye. It is excellent. And I had no idea he directed it. This was in regards to Miriam's story from last episode. And then she also mentioned that if she could go into the Oasis in the Ready Player One universe, she'd go visit the Marvel universe.
Which is a really great thing.
any universe where like you have the possibility to be saved by Captain America.
Or save Captain America. Book. Hello.
That's, you could save. By,
you put
like,
on your cape and you save. Captain America, designed by Zorro himself.
That one time when I was at Disneyland, they sent me to Disneyland to report on the Captain America exhibit that was opening. So I was like, I would love to go to Disneyland for free. So I went, and Captain America was there. Well, like in quotations, right?
Uh-huh.
And he said, oh, he's like, you look like you need saving. I'll save you. Come stand behind my shield. And I was like, I would love to stand behind your shield, Cap. This is the best day of my life.
See, this is why you get this stuff. Like, this is like the Bradley James story when you were like, oh, save me from the spider, where I would have been like, screw you. Give me your shield. I will save you.
Because I single-handedly set feminism back 20 years. Every time I go out the
door. At least you stand by it.
I like to be saved. I like doors open for me. I like guys to carry heavy packages.
You like guys in capes.
Kill all the spiders. It's fine.
I will say that Captain America exhibit, though, is awesome.
Mm-hmm.
And every single person that they've got as Captain America, yeah, okay, I'd be saved by them.
Oh, you guys.
There was the one guy had, he like, I mean, obviously you can only see half of their face, but he had like the Chris Evans smolder down. His like jawline was really nice. I will send you pictures. They're great. Yeah. It's good. It's a good time.
They've got a Thor one as well, haven't they? Like at the opposite.
He's really good too. Yeah, yeah. But
Thor's there too, guys, I guess.
All that. Well, Thor always has the longest line and like, yeah. He's a little too popular over in Asgard.
All right.
They're still there. But they're
let's move on. Cause,
off of Disney.
Off of wanting to be safe. Wish you guys. One of these days. We're going to have a talk. Anyway, so the next comment, do you want to get it, Danya?
Yes, sure. It's from Claire. Is that Claire Tetty?
Yeah.
Teddy? Teddy.
Like Yeti? Yeah.
Teddy. Love the Ready Player One discussion on the new Hypeable Hype episode. Hashtag take me to the Oasis.
Take me to the Oasis. Do, 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 do. Yeah, but thank you so much. I don't know why I just sung the comment. That's great. We had some good responses to that. So thank you guys so much for listening to our special. And Pam, do you want to get Maria Clara's comment?
Maria says, if you're looking for a study abroad movie suggestion, my favorite is called La Bourge Espagnole. It's about a French student going to Spain and sharing house with a bunch of other European students doing study abroad. I'm so glad you brought this up, Maria, because I love this movie. It stars Aubrey Tautou, and it's amazing.
Oh, cool.
So definitely go watch that if you haven't yet.
I love her.
Great. It's a great movie. And I always feel really proud when I can watch movies that are in Spanish, like partially because I don't have to read subtitles, and that like really justifies my life a lot. Like I just feel like not used to it. I'm like, I don't need subtitles. I can watch all the people instead.
Yeah. Awesome. That's cool. And yeah, that movie's called L'Auberge Espanol. And we'll put that title in the show notes if you guys want to check it out. And Danya, you get the final long comment. Yay!
Okay. So this is from Pablo. Yeah, I love that name. So good. You mentioned in the discussion that not everyone can be in the Oasis all the time because it's expensive, but it's mentioned it only costs 25 cents. And Wade's aunt and everyone that lived in that trailer was constantly in the Oasis. When the Sixers threaten him, they show a bunch of people simply logged into the game. And they clearly don't have much money. However, Wade mentions he fixes laptops and stuff to have money, so people do spend time in the real world. The book doesn't care about that because Wade doesn't. So, of course, we focus more on the Oasis. So I do think people were simply spending their time in the game and didn't care about the real world. It was pure escapism. And it's not that far from the real world. Like, people care more about James Bond and Marvel casting rumors than the refugee crisis in Europe. The Oasis is simply an exaggeration of our world.
Which is a great point. And I pointed out in the comments just that when I said that... that it's expensive, I meant like all the things. Like, if you want to move in the Oasis, it's super expensive. because like everyone's monetized it. But from the outset, he's right. It's super cheap and for everyone. But this is such a good point about the real world, because that's what we were talking about last week, how the Oasis is just an extended internet. Like, we sit here, we talk about pop culture, and we try to escape, for lack of a better word, all the horrible things that are happening around us, you know? Yeah. And the Oasis just allows you to do that more with another dimension, you know? And actually, you know what? Speaking about the refugee crisis, which is ravaging Europe right now, we do actually have an article up on the site where some famous authors like J.K. Rowling and John Green have made it possible for you to donate to the victims and the refugees through various fan-friendly campaigns. And we have some links to how you can help out. So fandom can be used for good stuff. I just want to point this out. I feel like we try to make a point on Hypebol of incorporating this whenever we can.
Yeah.
And thank you so much for those comments, everyone. If you want to leave us comments about this episode or anything else that you want us to talk about or anything you have for us, any feedback, you can find us on hypable.com, which is hypable.com. You can find our podcast posts and leave a comment. You can also tweet us at hypablehype, and you can find us on Instagram at hypablehype. Do you guys have anything you want to say before we wrap up?
This Go watch Great show. British Bake Off.
Okay. And that's nice, you know, cake and television, what's not to like. So thank you so much for joining us, Danya and Pam. I hope to talk to you next week. My name is Lena.
My name is Pamela.
And I'm Danya.
Bye, you all.
Must yield. If he's led to a fight and a